There's 40 guys after the round on the range, hitting balls, trying to get better, trying to figure out what they did wrong. Like on the putting green, they're chipping, dude. It's like we are a bunch of sickos out there. You'll never see a guy hit the ball further and in control as Aaron Hicks. I mean, he would be the longest guy on tour right now, today, hands down.
There is a podcast brewing that's about to take over podcasting for good. The only podcast that you are going to need to tune into day in, day out, is the Member Guest Podcast.
If I can hit it down the middle of the fairway, that's great. But again, with the driver right now, the driver sucks.
John Daly, and you're listening to the Member Guest Podcast. Rippin', rippin'.
All right, Tyler, I think, did your teammates call you Clip? Am I allowed to say Clip? Because that's actually a pretty sick nickname if I'm able to.
Yeah, no, of course. Yeah, I've been going by Clip my whole life. Although early in life, because I have an older brother, he was the original Clip. So some of my friends, when we ran in the same circles, I had to go by T-Clip to differentiate the Clips. So, but in the locker rooms in my career, I was Clip. Yeah.
And I don't want to jump too far ahead, but did I see that your brother's on the bag for you in the pro league?
Yes. Yeah, he has been. He's been on the bag 4 of the 5 tournaments that I've been in. So this year, which has been such a cool thing to have him there, hang out with the guys, and then, you know, we see the golf game through the same lens and play very similar type of games. We pretty much have, you know, hit our irons all the same length and drivers the same length and trajectory. And so we're seeing everything exactly the same, which has been very beneficial to have him to lean on in these tournaments in the pro.
Yeah, that's awesome. Before we talk about the pro, I wanted to make sure I did justice, talk a little bit about your playing career. So you did, I know you had a little stint with Minnesota, but 10 different teams, drafted by the Yankees, I think all-star with the National a couple times. Am I on the right path? Like, talk to me about the MLB playing career, because obviously the pro is all, you know, retired professional athletes. It's just an awesome concept. So before I get to that, I want to talk about baseball for a little bit.
Yeah, no, that's it, man. I played for 10 different teams in my career. I came up in the Yankees organization, was drafted by them in 2003 in the 9th round. I'm from Tampa, Florida, and came up through the ranks with them. Debuted in 07 with the Yankees, which was such a surreal experience in a young baseball career as a 22-year-old stepping foot in a locker room with, like, I don't even know, 9 Hall of Famers maybe. Was a very, very cool learning process. I was intimidated, but I think in the long run, my journey in the baseball world and in my career, in, you know, it wasn't a long time I was in that locker room, but it was such a beneficial time for my career to learn from those guys. And you know, very lucky to have that experience with that team and those guys in that locker room. And then after that 07 season, I got traded to Washington, and Washington is the team that I spent the longest with. It was, you know, where I made the best friendships that I've had in baseball were on those teams, from 08 to 2014. Being a part of an organization that was on the rise when I first got there, it was, you know, bottom of the barrel organization, you know, losing perennially 100 games a season. I think we were owned by Major League Baseball for a couple of years, and then the Lerner family came in and bought us and really turned everything around there. And then we brought in some good veteran leadership, Jason Wirth, the most notable. And then kind of seeing those teams from 08, 9, and 10 to 2011, we turned a corner and became a 500 team. And then 12, 13, and 14, we made the playoffs. So it was fun to be a part of that kind of rise and of that organization. And really, that's where I made my hay and set the foundation for a nice long career.
Yeah, it's awesome, man. I, in in talking with Beef, it's always funny. And sorry, Beef is Rick Helling. I don't know if you guys call him Beef or not. That's his nickname around our club. So maybe that'll get going on the pro now. We call him Beef. But it's funny, like, he still works within, you know, the MLB. And, you know, I feel like the pitchers get a rap for, like, on their days off, they get to go play golf. And I've seen him, you know, have some pitchers from different teams and stuff when they're in town get to play a little bit. Were you playing golf during your, you know, playing career? Like, have you always played the game? I think I saw you played in high school and were kind of a stud. Is that something that just you kept doing and obviously has led to what you're doing now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I always tell people I never went on a road trip in my big league career without my golf clubs. And then one of the coolest things that I got to do, you know, other than be a big leaguer and play Major League Baseball, was the golf side, because going to all the best country or cities in the country, and they have, you know, great golf courses. I got to play all the great golf courses in the United States. And that was like one of the coolest things I got to do in my major league career, was play all these nice golf clubs, get to know a lot of cool people off the field, members and people in the business world, and make great connections in that, from that format. But you know, to what you touched on before, I was a reliever. So I had to be ready to pitch every single day. So if I was golfing, I was golfing in the morning before a game and pitching at night. So I didn't need a day off to have an excuse to play golf.
Well, I mean, you absolutely put one on a tee for me here. I got to ask, you know, what are the top, I'll call it, three courses you play? They don't have to be in order, but what are some of the best ones that you've played?
Man, I get that question a lot. It's a very tough question to answer because there's so many good ones. But yeah. I think Pine Valley is kind of a standalone, like, really, really cool spot. And then my next favorite, or I don't know, you can flip-flop either one. I love them both, is Oakmont. Oakmont's a really special place as well. And my third kind of floats around. Like, I'm always wishy-washy on my third pick. I think let me think about this. It always rotates. Today I'm going to say San Francisco Golf Club. San Francisco Country Club, SFCC. San Francisco Country Club. I hope there's not two of them, but
no, it's probably going to be the only one. Is that did you play it recently? Because I'm very much like you, where I have a one and two for me, and then it always seems to be, you know, maybe it's a place that I played again recently or whatever, like, comes back and reminds me how much I love it. Because for me, Sleepy Hollow and Sand Hills are my one and two, and I feel like number three is just again like you. Maybe I played something recently, like I made a hole-in-one at the Tree Farm, so that's usually what sneaks into my number three, just because I'm biased there. But, yeah, I feel the same way. It kind of changes year over year when I go back and think about all of it.
No, it's been a few years since I've played SFCC. I have fond memories of being out there. I played it like two or three times. It's just, you know, one of those clubs that kind of sticks out in my mind. And there's obviously, you know, a handful of others that do as well.
So for the pro league, I did all this research on it. Like, obviously it's a bunch of, you know, retired ex professional athletes, which I can only imagine the level of competitiveness that you guys have going on out there. And I think you, compared to, you know, most people, I see Hicks's name a lot, but have played in most of the events. You've won a couple times. So clearly you're one of the top guys there, but it's interesting to see the different, like, the amounts of guys in all the different sports. Are the baseball guys you guys just got it on lock? It seems like it's all MLB players at the top of these lists right now, and maybe some of the other sports got to, you know, get a little deeper roster as some guys retire soon.
Yeah, I definitely think the baseball guys are the deepest. Like, there's more baseball guys that can play well in these events maybe than any other sport, but there's certainly guys in other sports that are right there. I mean, there's Joe Pavelski in hockey is one of the top guys in our on the pro tour. We got Garrett Graham, who was a tight end in the NFL, is a very solid player. He's right there. Marty Fish, tennis player. He's really, really good. Taylor Twellman, soccer player. He's good. I mean, it's a really deep field in these events. And it's not like it's just me and Aaron winning by a million. I mean, all these events that we've won between me and him, there's guys right there. I mean, he had to go into a playoff to beat Garrett Graham in Mississippi. I had to beat Joe Pavelski in a playoff in Indian Wells in Palm Springs. You know, Ryan Suckup, NFL guy, was a few points back in our last event in Savannah. So, I mean, there's plenty of guys that are making a push each week to win these things. And, you know, it has been me and Aaron coming out on top. But, yeah, baseball is deeper, but there's certainly good players in all the other.
Yeah, so, you know, obviously you guys are playing in a, you know, again, this isn't just like a, you know, fun thing. I mean, obviously it's got to be fun to some extent, but, you know, there's big purses. A bunch of guys that are super competitive. And I would imagine that, you know, you guys still approach this from a competitive standpoint, right? Like, it's not just, hey, we're going to, you know, show up and, you know, we're trying to just play some good golf. And then, like, guys are probably trying to go out and win these things. I know Beef takes it, you know, very seriously. And so what I wanted to talk about is how you, you know, are preparing as a, you know, now you're technically a professional golfer. You know, and how that compares, call it mentally, and how, you know, it might be different from, you know, when you were pitching in the majors. I imagine all you guys have played at the, you know, highest level of your sports. What's it like for you now preparing for golf and playing against a bunch of guys that you're going to try out and beat and actually try and be the best guy in the pro?
I mean, there's a lot of similarities, and I think that's why we all love it so much, is because there is a preparation aspect to trying to get ready for these events. And, you know, the hard thing, I think, with everybody, depending on what stage in your life you are, but I know for me, I have a young family, so I can't necessarily dedicate as much time to the golf thing as I did my baseball career. But when I do find some free time, I'm going and playing golf, and I'm not just going out there and cold turkey playing 9 or 18 holes. I'm like, I'm going out there, I'm working on my short game. I'm doing putting drills. I got a mirror down. I got alignment sticks. I'm videotaping my swing. Like, I'm trying to get better at golf, and for a purpose too, which is, I think, a huge part of what the pro offers us as athletes is the grind of it, and trying to prepare for something to compete in, to try to win. And that's the coolest part about what we have going on here at the pro, is that. And it's so unbelievable to see, like, when we're at these events, how very similar we all are wired. I mean, you know, we'll go and we'll play our first round, and it's a long day, and we're competing. And regardless if the guy, you know, there's a guy that shoots, you know, 3 under, or a guy who shoots 13 over, there's 40 guys after the round on the range hitting balls, trying to get better, trying to figure out what they did wrong. Like, on the putting green, they're chipping, dude. It's like we are a bunch of sickos out there, just unbelievably competitive people. And, you know, in my world, like, I'm like the only person who kind of does that kind of stuff. So I'm like, man, am I the weird one? And then I go to the pro and I'm like, oh, we are all the same people. Like, we are all just sickos. We want to compete. We want to win. We want to try to get better. And to be around a collective group of people that have that same sickness is really refreshing, because it's like, it really is eye opening and makes you realize, like, why everybody was so good at their collective sport is because we're kind of all wired the same way. And that's the beauty of being around those events, is watching everybody just kind of try to get better, and we're just ultra competitive.
Yeah, it's, I mean, obviously you guys are doing it a different level, but I always try and have this conversation with my, you know, friends or my wife or whoever about, like, you know, I get the question all the time. It's, why do you love golf so much? Like, why is it your thing? And, like, you just hit the nail on the head in terms of, like, anybody that's competitive or has played any type of, you know, sport at whatever level, it just like, it scratches this itch that is always there. And like, you're never going to perfect it. It is so hard. You go through like these super highs when you play really well, which are, you know, few and far between. You go through these super lows where you're just trying to figure stuff out. And then, yeah, I imagine once you guys are starting to play for purses and you're getting around a bunch of people like that, it only elevates it. And the other thing that I found really interesting is you guys play Stableford format. And so, you know, that's obviously a little bit different than stroke play. Like, it's going to reward birdies and probably playing a little bit more aggressive. I don't know, you know, what other type of golf you play, but how does that change your guys' strategy? Like, I'm a decade guy, right? So I play a lot of, you know, stroke play stuff and sometimes maybe a little bit too conservative, but like, when you guys are out there and you've got 100 yards in, like, are you taking dead aim at a back left pin, or are you still just going through your normal process and just letting it play out?
Well, it's tricky. It's a tricky format because, yes, you're right, birdies are rewarded, and you I think ultimately can be a tad bit more aggressive, but the reason it's tricky is because there's 2 points that differentiate a bogey and a double bogey. So a double bogey is a -1 point and a bogey is a point. So you really want to keep the double bogeys off the card. And all the events that I've won, I haven't, you know, I've kept the double bogeys off the card, right? So that's like a super important thing to keep in the back of your mind. So I think what's worked best for me in these events is really like a really normal tournament mindset, is just like trying to keep the ball in front of you, let birdies come, because if you keep it in front of you, hit some greens, you'll make some putts over a course of 3 days, and then keeping the double bogeys off the card. So, yeah, I mean, there are moments where you feel like you can get maybe a little bit more aggressive, but every time I've tried to take that approach, it's kind of bit me a little bit. So now I'm just thinking like the more conservative approaches might be the best. And really and truly, man, like, I watch golf, I consume golf so much, and the best golf that's being played in the world is exactly that. Scotty Scheffler plays a boring brand of golf. It's, you know, shooting 10 to 15 feet or yards left of a flag to hit the center of the green and let a slope take it over, or try to make a 20 footer and go, you know, make a putt or not, move on. And that's what good golf is. You, especially like at our level, like, we're not a PGA Tour caliber player, right? So, I mean, I'm good, but I understand that like a back left pin, if I'm trying to go at that, more bad things are going to happen with my level of a player as a golfer than good. So I might as well just fire 10 yards right of it and hit my target. If I pull it 5 yards and I'm having a birdie, look great. If I, you know, so like, this is the things that I think about when I'm trying to play these events. And it's tricky because you want to keep the doubles off the card. And if you try to keep like, hey, I got to keep getting after it, I got to keep going for this, I got to keep going for this, and you make 3 or 4 doubles in a round, you got no chance to win. So that's where the tricky part of Stableford comes in. But, you know, if you take a 2-hole stretch, this is a great example, and I make par par and my playing partner makes birdie bogey, or even par after 2 holes, but the birdie bogey is 1 point ahead than the par par in the Stableford format. So that's where it gets a little tricky.
Yeah, 100%. Do you do US Open locals this year? And do you try to play some other competitive stuff as well outside the pro?
Yeah. And I, you know, that's the beauty of like being able to do this, the pro stuff, is I was doing competitive golf anyway. I was doing US Mid-Am, some Mid-Am Invitationals, US Open Qualies, four ball events, you know, local FSGA, one day events. Like, I was going to play competitive golf in retirement, regardless if the pro came around or not, because I love golf so much. I'm a competitive person, and I just need to kind of facilitate that side of my brain, or else I'd go crazy. So, I was going to do it anyway. So I still do the things that I can do because I did have to turn pro. So I did the US Open locals, and I got the Florida Open. So the Florida Open qualies coming up. Just all the things that a pro can do, I still do. And then the pro events, I mean, we've had five events. Minnesota's coming up, so that'll be six, and then the tour championship stuff, and I think in total it'll probably be eight events. And so with a young family, eight events, I'm gone 5 days every time I play these events. I mean, that's probably, with my lifestyle, plenty of competitive golf, but I do some more stuff outside of the pro as well, just to stay sharp and really just to see, you know, in the U.S. Open locals, like it was at my home club, and you know, seven under was the medalist. You know, I'm like, gosh, you know, because you're playing against actual professional golfers. And so to see that level helps your game, and to compete with those guys really elevates like how good you think you are versus how good really is, if that makes sense. And so it helps me as a golfer to see it. And that's why I like doing that stuff. And yeah, I mean, I shot one under and missed the U.S. Open locals by four shots. So it's, you know, those guys are good.
Yeah, you must have had it. You had a really hard deal there. I mean, that's some good playing. But I mean, obviously, there's a lot of pros that live in that area too. So just you know, that's what you're going to get. I should have asked. Can you explain a little bit about? So you touched a little bit on the number of tournaments that you guys have. Obviously, Stableford scoring, but you know, how does the point system work? Is it just you know, you're adding up all the points that you get at every single tournament? So like, you know, in Stableford format, say you get, I don't know, 40 points in a round and you play three rounds, you're at 120 points, and you add those up? Or how does the point system work? And then at the end of the, you know, six or seven events, that then you go to kind of the playoff, which seems, you know, like a similar style to what the PGA does, then what are you guys playing for there? It's kind of, you know, it'd be good to understand how you guys have structured it, because it seems like a really, really well-run deal that Smoltz put together.
Yeah, no, so the Stableford points are just for the tournament. So you add your first round, second round, third round totals, and then whoever has the most Stableford points at the end of the tournament wins the tournament, and so on and so forth. Kind of the fun thing that we have going on in our tour with each event is there's a cut, and the top 40 guys in the event move on to the next event. So it's an invitational, so the top 40 guys get to play in the next event. In the last day of the tournament, the top 60 get to play for those final 40 spots. So there's kind of like a, after two rounds, the top 60 can still play, and the, you know, those 20 guys can play their way into the top 40, you know, in that third round, which I think is a cool thing. But as far as how the points go after the tournament is over, like first place gets 7,000 points. And then second place gets 3,500. And then I think third place gets 2,000, and then so on and so forth. So you add up those points for each event, and then that's where you see the leaderboards on like our website will be, you know, I think Hicks has like 235,000, I have 205,000, you know, Marty's got like 85,000, and that's kind of how those points have shaken out. And so for the Tournament of Champions, what we're doing is the top eight point getters in each sport, NFL, NHL, NBA, MLB, will move on to the Tour Championship. And then there's another top eight in basically everybody else. So the eight guys that are just out of like baseball or whatever, like you can still get in if you're top eight in. So you got a soccer player, Taylor Twellman, Marty Fish, that kind of fall into that category. And then all the other guys in the other sports that aren't in their top eight, if their points are good enough to get them in the next top eight, then you have eight times five, 45 guys going to the Tour Championship. Or is that 40? I'm bad at math. But anyway, 40. you go to the Tour Championship good. After that. And then you play a stroke play event at, yeah, and then you go, I think we're going to do for the finals a match play format. And the top two seeds in the match play get a bye.
Got it. Top two seeds in match play.
And then you play match play. Match
40
play,
guys
yeah.
match play in to then decide yeah. who the champion is.
Yep. That's it.
Got it. Yeah, it actually is a sweet format. I mean, you're, you know, you and Aaron obviously are going to make that top eight for, but I imagine looking at how deep those baseball guys are, They're going to be fighting for those top eight spots. And so you guys are coming here to Minnesota in 2 weeks, playing at Mystic. I imagine you guys will be at the casino after as well. That event, is that the last one then before the Tournament of Champions?
Yes.
Okay, so that's the last event. So you're going to have a lot of people playing in that one, trying to get some points, then sneak in their top eight. Who are some of the top guys that you've played with that people may not expect? Or like, I know Joe Pavelski, you mentioned already. I see his name everywhere. I see Tony Romo's name everywhere. You mentioned Marty Fish. That's a good one. Who are some of the other guys that you've played with? Who's like the top NBA guy, or who are some of the top guys from other sports that you're like, man, I had no idea that your game was this good?
Yeah, I think John Barry in the NBA. I played with Ray Allen. Ray Allen is really, really good. I feel like, he's a guy who could and should be in contention to win one of these. He's got that kind of game. J.R. Smith is very solid. Who else have I seen? I'm trying to think. I played with John Elway at PGA National, and he is really good for his age, man. He gets it in the hole. He's got a really good short game, just a solid player. And I'm trying to think. Whit Merrifield on the baseball side, people don't talk about him very much, but he's super solid. Cody Ross has probably been one of the nicest golf swings I've seen, with really good short hands around the greens. I feel like he's kind of underperformed in these events. Like, he's a really good player as well. There's a lot of great. I play with Ron Harper in at PGA National also, and his short game was ridiculous. I mean, he doesn't probably hit it far enough because he's a little older and he's big, and but his short game was amazing. So you know, there's a lot of good golf being played out on this tour, and guys that you'll hear about moving forward in these events.
Yeah, good golf and some pretty good names there too. You have a lot of Hall of Famers and guys that people grew up watching, playing their respective sports or for their teams. And so you guys, is it every week that you do a pro-am? And is that kind of like your guys' practice round to be able to see the course that you're playing at? So is that a thing that you guys do before every tournament?
Yeah. There is a pro-am side to the pro. So you can sign up and join these Hall of Famers and play around with them, which I think is a really cool experience that our tour offers. And it's going to be such a more intimate, fun thing, more so than a tour event where, you got these PGA Tour guys trying to get ready for a golf tournament. And yeah, you're around them for a day, but they're still doing their kind of own thing where, yeah, we do take our tour seriously, but we are way more laid back people having way more fun. And it's just kind of a way cooler vibe, I think. But yeah, we use those pro-ams as players, as practice rounds. I try to show up a day before the pro-am so I can do a real practice round on my own, so I can really enjoy the pro-am and not worry about it too much once I've seen the course and just kind of maybe learn a little bit more around the greens. But, for me, I always do better not trying to dive in a crazy amount to where not to miss and where are the pins going to be on Thursday or whatever. And so I do a lot better when it's just the golf course is presented to me in a way and I can figure it out when I'm in the fairway, instead of 3 days before I'm like, oh, I got to hit it to 107 yards so I can get to that back left pin on third. I think once you get too granular with it, it's not ever going to go exactly as planned anyway. So I'm just whatever comes at me that day, I'll figure it out.
Yeah, no, you've got a really good, no surprise, head on your shoulders, and seems like a really good way to approach this. Because to your point, for guys at our level, and I would imagine you're going to be a plus handicap of some sort. But to your point, it's funny watching and listening to those pros in practice rounds talking about trying to hit certain spots, and like they can actually do it. You know, to your point about seeing that next level of game, it's like, yeah, you can plan to try and like hit it in the right side of the fairway to have a better right. angle to like a left pin, and then all of a sudden, like, you know, you kind of duck hook one into the left rough, and you're like, well, this changes absolutely everything about the way that I'm approaching this hole, and you know, you're only going to play it twice. So yeah, I can completely relate. As we wrap up, I want to know, like, what are the things that you are trying to, whether it's feel right now in the golf swing, really focus on? You seem like a guy that I relate to in terms of like trying to take advantage of the amount of time that you practice when you go out and play. Like, how do you approach that side of it? Are you, you know, trying to find maybe an area of your game that is, you know, you feel could get a little better and really trying to hone in on that? Or do you take the approach of really well-rounded practice and doing kind of everything the same? Or do you like lead into the strengths of your game and like that's where it is? I just wanted to talk a little bit about, you know, how you practice and prepare, because I might be able to learn.
So I tend to take like a kind of more of a simplistic approach, especially with my full swing practice is basically like I want to make sure like my fundamentals are in place. So my alignment sticks, and I want to stay neutral with my ball flight. I'm a natural drawer of the golf ball, and I have a tendency to miss long left, and have my tendency is pull hooks or pull left misses. And so to neutralize that pull left, I want to stay in a neutral ball flight, and even, you know, try to get a feel, like a comfortability with a cut, which is something I have to work on a little bit. And then the draw is just there. The draw will be there. It always will be there. That's just my tendency. So like really in practice, I'm everything's real neutral, you know, straight divots, you know, trying not to get too steep, because that's a tendency as well, which I think I've gotten really way better at in the last year and a half, 2 years. And then three quarter shots. So full swing is one thing, but on the golf course, you're going to need to be able to take 5 to 7 yards off a shot. It doesn't matter who you are in golf, you know, if it's 220 yards out or 80 yards out, like you got to know how to take 5 to 7 yards off a shot. And so for me in my golf life without practice, like I always struggled with that. I just wanted full numbers, swing hard, and I know a ball is going to go a certain distance. And I was always trying to kind of push the envelope into full swings, especially like playing in wind was always tough for me because I couldn't flight it, because I always wanted to take full swings, maximize my spin, and the wind would just crush it. So now that's one part of my game that I think I've gotten a lot better at, is flighting the ball and knowing your three quarter like nut carry numbers. And so those are the two things that I work on full swing wise, is alignment, fundamentals, and then three quarter swings with each club. Like how far does a three quarter 8 iron go? How far does a three quarter 7 iron go? So on and so forth. And then, but I don't like crazy grind on that stuff. If I hit balls, I might hit balls for an hour at most. That would be a long range session for me. But I have learned, and what will move the needle in golf in general is if you want to spend time on something, it's short game, which my whole golf life as a baseball player, like in the off season, when you get time, you're so excited to go play golf, you just go play it. You warm up, you maybe hit a few putts on the putting green, and you go play. Whereas now that I'm trying to get better and see better results from a score perspective, short game is where you're going to see those results, especially when you get to a +3 handicap. Like I can hit the ball, I can strike the ball in the club face. I'm not spraying it all over the golf course. Like I'm going to keep the ball in front of me on any given day. Like some days are obviously better than others, but you're going to keep it in front of you. Where you can really score is your scoring clubs around the greens, putter, so on and so forth. So that's really what I've taken like a extreme focus on over the last, you know, year and a half, is really going out to the chipping green and hitting every kind of chip shot, you know, spending 2 hours just putting and chipping. And that's where I've seen the most fruits of the labor is in that arena, is the short game stuff. And it's hard, man. It's tedious. It's the post game ice bath. It's the pre-game stretching routine. It's the that tedious stuff is kind of the most, you know, the hardest mentally to get yourself to do. But once you do it enough and you see how much better it makes you, then you kind of crave it a little bit, because you it's not immediate either. Because like there was 6 months where I'm like, man, I'm chipping and putting so much and I'm still flubbing chips, or I'm still sculling stuff, or I'm still messing up, and I shouldn't be because I'm practicing on this so much. And it doesn't happen until later than you think it's going to happen, is seeing those results. And so that's, I'm just now coming into that spot in my golf game where I'm actually like super comfortable hitting a flop shot, super comfortable knowing how to like put a little spin on it and reading lies and knowing how to kind of get the ball around the greens, especially. And the short game stuff is kind of getting tightened up, and there's always work to be done. I mean, you know how it is, dude. Golf is a black hole, a black pit of endless, you know, things you can figure out. And I certainly don't know nearly half of everything, but it's fun to think that you're getting better at least.
Yeah, man, you're preaching to the choir with all that. Like, I feel like, you know, if you're around that plus three, I'm maybe a year or so behind you, but relate to all of this so much, because forever I could play really, really good golf on calm days, because I was the same way. Full swing is like, I wanted to full swing everything, and I would just take my medicine, where if I had a, you know, number to a back pit, and I was between numbers or between clubs, I would just like take the lesser one, full swing, come up, you know, 40 feet short and just try to two putt and get out of there, instead of, to your point, being able to have that three quarter shot. And I've started to work on that, and short game has always historically been my struggle, because I drive the ball really well, and typically guys that drive it really well like struggle with short game, and then vice versa. And so I have started to chip so much more in my practice. Like, it's probably about half my practice. But one thing that you said that I can, like, I almost have diagnosed, is that, to your point, you can go out for an hour, 2 hours, you can chip and work on specific shots. Until you actually do it on the golf course a few times and get the confidence of doing it, it's really hard to then like gain that and actually have it be in play. And the problem is, you may not get that shot that you're working on for 3 or 4 rounds, and you may only get it once. And then like you actually have to execute the one time that you get it. And that is where I am at right now. It is that taking the stuff from practice to then getting the confidence, then actually doing it on the course, and just coming to the realization that I may only have it on the course once every couple times I play. So I can relate to everything that you're saying. Obviously, you've taken that next step and you're playing some amazing golf out on the pro. I'm looking forward to seeing you guys play it at Mystic Lake. I might come out and watch a little bit. Beef said it's kind of a cool thing to come and watch and see. So there's a chance I get to see you in person. If you're ever in town and you want to come play our place, the invite is always there.
No, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, you must come out. You must you got to see the sickness, dude. Like, I swear to you, after these rounds, you will see 35 guys out there still putting, chipping, and going on the range and grinding, and you'll just laugh. You'll just be like, all right, I get it. These guys are competitive people, man.
Yeah, they're competitive guys, and you know, seen a lot of them on TV and watched them play at the highest level of their sport. Now just doing it in the game that we all get to share, love, and enjoy. So I love what you guys are doing on the pro. I'm going to continue to follow along. Obviously, wishing you all the best as you move on to these last couple events and then get into the playoffs. I'll be rooting.
I appreciate it. Yeah. I'm gonna get Hixie, man. Me and him, we got a little competitive rivalry going, and we were teammates in New York, and we played a lot of golf together, and I enjoyed competing against him so much. So it won't necessarily come down to me and him, but if it does, I'm gonna get him.
Yeah, dude, he seems like a really good player. I can only imagine how far he hits the ball.
I tell people all the time, you'll never see a guy hit the ball further and in control as Aaron Hicks. I mean, he would be the longest guy on tour right now, today, hands down. He cruises at like 195 to 198 ball speed. He carried, I saw it. I was like, dude, I got to see, you know, because I take a GC quad with me to these events, and I sat it down next to him, and I was like, all right, give me all you got. And he got it to 207 just first swing. And I was just like, that's ridiculous, bro. So it's real. He's got short game. He's got putting. He can chip it. Like, he's not just a bobber either. So he's got it all, but you know, I'm not too shabby. So I'm going to come and get him. He can outdrive me by 40 though. So
Yeah. Hey, you'll make up for it. Balls per strike and all that chipping and putting work that you got going on. So
that's it.
All the fans of the pro follow along, you, Hicks, and obviously everybody else that can, you know, any given day come out there and shoot a good score. So
yeah.
I appreciate you coming on. Hopefully you have a fun time at Mystic and a good time here in Minnesota. Hopefully you get good weather. It's been beautiful, so you guys are coming at a good time of the year.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to getting out of this Florida heat for a week. So I hope that you guys give me some good weather, man. I'm looking forward to it.
It should be all right. Good luck.
Heck yeah. All right, Jordan. I appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Tyler.